parables are metaphors or similes and stories which are comparative in nature. In other words, the word parable itself, parabole in Greek, don't worry about that, literally means to lay something alongside of something else for the sake of comparing the one with the other. A couple of quick examples. One, Shakespeare's poem, "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?" I remember listening to a guy saying to a woman, "Shall I compare thee?" Or no, "She walks in beauty like the night." It was just a social gathering, and he saw this attractive woman, and she stopped, and she loved it. I mean, "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?" Or "She walks in beauty like the night." Or the song that Johnny Mathis made famous back in the 60s, "I need you like roses need rain." Well, it's not the same thing, needing you like roses need rain, but it says something. Or for biblical example, Psalm 42, "As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God." We are not deer, and God is not a flowing stream. Yet if we go into and just enter in a little bit to the parable or to the metaphor, we get a sense of the intensity of the hunger, the thirst for God. Well, Jesus was a great storyteller, the greatest of all time, even within Israel. And he told us about God, what God expects, how God sees things, how we are to respond magnificently in his parables. And so today I want to talk about one, if we have time, two parables that really deal with the issue of perseverance. Wow. Perseverance. Are you pretty good at persevering? Are we born good at persevering, or is it something we just have to learn over time? You know, sometimes you have to persevere because there's really nothing else you can do. I mean, you just have to keep going. It's the only thing that makes any sense. My life changed, believe it or not, when I was 20 in training to be a Marine at Parris Island, South Carolina. And about the second day or so, I wasn't in that good of shape, but I was 20 and I, you know, was okay in shape for a 20-year-old. Anyway, we had a run, our first run. As our platoon of 72 of us, we had to stay in our ranks. And the DIs said, if you fall out of this run, you had better break your nose or we will. And they were serious. Okay. So here I was, and we're jogging, right? Jogging in this platoon formation. And I remember so clearly reaching my limit. Like, okay, this is the time I start walking and I stop. But they kept running. And I remember so clearly I made a decision and told my body, okay, body, I'm just going to keep on going. And when you drop, go ahead. Just, you know, go ahead and drop. But I got to keep on going. I persevered. And I didn't stop. In fact, I got another gear I didn't know I had. Now, that's just a little, that's a parable, I guess, itself. It's a story of what I learned about the necessity of persevering in life and the things that matter when you really have little choice, and that we grow from that. We discover that we have other gears in us, that we, in fact, can do things that we didn't know we could do and we never would have known we could do if we hadn't put in a situation to have to persevere. And when you're down pretty much to nothing but God, it is and it must be God to whom you turn daily, hourly, constantly. I remember back in the 1980s here in Iowa in the farm crisis, and I went out a few times with a team talking to people who were losing their farms. Some of them You know, 100-year farms that people had had for generations. Don't get me started on what the banker... It was a terrible time. But at any rate, I will never forget this one farm woman. They lost their farm, or were about to, and she had a little plaque, little thing that she had put on her refrigerator door. And she said, "This is what has kept me going. This is what has kept me alive." And it said, this is very close, if not exact, "When you lose everything but God, you realize that God is all you need. When you lose everything but God, you realize that God is all you need." Reminds me of the psalmist in Psalm 73. "Whom have I in heaven but you? And having you, there is nothing I desire on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." More than mere poverty of spirit, Jesus says in the Beatitudes that we'll be blessed by even having dire destitution, when we have no available resources, when we are reduced to begging, because God will respond to that. And we see this. So, in fact, before I get there, let me just remind you of the eight Beatitudes in the context of people who are put in situations where they have to persevere. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," those who are in the dire straits where they just have really little choice but to get up and keep at it every day, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. "Blessed are those who mourn," who are persevering in their mourning, for they will be comforted. "Blessed are the meek," those who are teachable, who continue to be humble, because the earth will be theirs. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Hang in, don't give up. The time will come when you will be filled. Persevere in your hunger and thirst for that which is right. "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Blessed are those who persevere in being merciful, because they will get mercy. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure in heart are those who persevere in desiring God with their whole heart, which is the meaning of being pure in heart, single-minded. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." The peacemakers, not just once in a while, but those wonderful people in our midst who work on bringing peace in situations. The peacemakers, God bless them. Finally, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake," those who persevere in doing what is right, even though they're persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So things are not necessarily going to be easy here in this life. So Jesus tells the following parable in Luke chapter 18. It's called the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. And he does so in the context of telling us to persevere in prayer. Do not give up easily. You know, the things we persevere in our life pretty well tell us what actually matters, doesn't it? If you look back at your life, what have you persevered in? Well, that's what matters the most to you. To persevere seeking justice, to persevere seeking God. Listen to this psalm about a widow who was reduced to begging a human judge, and not a nice one, to see things her way, to grant her justice against some unnamed opponent. Here's the parable from Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about the need to pray always and not to lose heart. Do not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him, saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, But later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he deny? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Wow. That last one always gets me, because it's implying that having faith means persevering. Faith is perseverance, my friends. Persevering in God. Persevering, choosing to believe in spite of evidence that may appear to show the contrary, and the naysayers and the cynics and the agnostics and the atheists who want to say there's no God, who have no idea what they're talking about because they're totally ignorant. I know God. Therefore, these people who say there's no God don't know what the heck they're talking about. Why God hasn't shown God's self to them is God's business. Okay. Faith is a good... So Jesus said, when I come back, will I still find faith here? Will people still be persevering, seeking righteousness and justice and belief? The widow in Jesus' parable had clearly had no financial means other than her family. No other place in turn. There was no Social Security. These were hard times, my friends. She apparently had no living adult family members, and either no children, or her children were too young to provide help for her. Her husband apparently had been the sole source of her financial support and standing in the community. So with his death came her social and economic death as well. You know, this is sad, but it's reminiscent of what used to be the case. I hope it's still not. In the country of India, where widows used to be forced to die and be burned right along with their husband's body. Oh, that's a horrible thing. But horrible, inhuman, yet without her husband, this woman would be reduced to a slow, painful death. No wonder, then, that in the Torah, the Hebrew Bible, there, if there's a brother of the deceased husband, he's mandated to take the widow as his wife, even if he's already married, to assure her continued well-being as well as the well-being of her children. Again, these were cruel times, with the only source of Social Security being what one can attain from one's own family. Let that sink in as we have a little weather report.
Your home in the country, KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1.
Whether you're looking for a new garage door or someone to service your current garage door, call me Dave from Quality Garage Doors. We service all makes and styles of garage doors. Give me a call today at 563-506-1032 for all your garage service needs. Check out my new Major League Baseball licensed doors.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Cloudy skies expected today with a high of 60. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy tonight. Lows around 45. Highs around 69 tomorrow. Partly cloudy skies Tuesday with highs in the mid-70s. Chance for scattered storms Wednesday. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
Muscatine's only free online source for local news and obituaries. Search voiceofmuscatine.com.
We're back. So for this widow, it was either this judge's ruling in her favor or eventual death. Maybe she was merely seeking what should have been hers from her husband's estate. Perhaps she had been robbed of it by some shady technicality, like today people calling and claiming they're from the IRS, all the scams that are around. or falsified some supposed lien on the family estate. This was a life or death matter for the widow. She had no choice. It was this or death. And the judge knew that. It would probably be on her face when I picture her showing up every morning pleading for justice. He probably was watching her slow decline. Maybe he heard her increasing shrillness, saw death's shadow spreading across her withering face. It bothered him. Perhaps at first he thought she would give up and leave him alone. But after a time, it became obvious that's not what she's going to do. She's going to pester him to her sorry end so that when she stopped appearing before him, that would just mean she was dead. Perhaps for a while, he thought he could just ignore her and wait for her pending death, yet somehow her persevering insistence finally wore him out. He gave in to get her off his back. No more could he tolerate that face and that shrill, pleading voice. Enough. I'm not afraid of God. I'm not afraid of humanity. I'll give you what you want. Now get out of my face. Now Jesus was here applying a classic rabbinic method of argument. This is important. It's called from the lesser to the greater. From the lesser to the greater. It states that if it is true that an unjust judge will eventually give the widow what she is persistently pleading for, how much more true will it be that the ultimate and truly just judge, God, will give to his chosen ones the justice they cry out to him for day and night? Wow. We see straight away that one thing God's chosen do is to cry out to God for justice day and night. Life is tough. This is not a rose garden. We're here to learn and to grow, and we learn more from our mistakes and from our suffering than we do from the easy things. This is not a casual asking that this widow said, or what we all can be reduced to, where it's kind of no other way. It's not a, oh, by the way, God, if you care to do this for me, I would sure appreciate it. No, this is the kind of passionate, urgent, not to be satisfied, persevering that Jesus refers to in the fourth beatitude that I read. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You might say, when will they be filled? We don't know. Our job is to persevere. God's job is to fill it, or fulfill it. Our job is to persevere. My job on that run was to keep at it until and unless my body dropped, and it did not drop. This kind of unrelenting cry that God will eventually hear and respond to is put beautifully, for example, in Psalm 40, these first three verses that I treasure, because God did this for me. I've been in that pit. Most of us have been in that pit, crying out to God to get us out of it. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise for our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. This is also the kind of persistent calling out to God to heal and save that begins in one of the greatest psalms, Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Well, that, you know, we don't know how long this psalmist, man or woman, cried out, how long the voice rang out and cried, how many supplications. It could be days, weeks, months, years. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice, my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol, which is hell, laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, I pray, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. It's a great psalm. It's a great psalm. So faith is all about persistence. That's why Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? In the context of this parable of the widow and the unjust judge, what does Jesus mean by faith? It's very important that we understand that. Faith is persistence in passionate pleading to God for justice in one's own life situation. Let me say that again. Faith is persistence in passionate pleading to God for justice in one's own life situation. To continue to call upon God in unrelenting earnestness is a mark of faith in God and God's power, along with a sobering assessment that it is either God or certain defeat, either God or destruction, and maybe even death. Faith is ardent perseverance in seeking the action of God. This is the faith of Abraham and Sarah, who had to wait 25 years before they finally got the child they'd been promised. They persevered. And every time God would come back to Abraham and say, hey, I'm going to get you a kid, he believed. He persevered in belief in God, even though the faith was not answered in his life. We're here to learn how to persevere, my friends. That's one of the secrets of life. We're not going to get everything here. But you know, when you persevere, you become stronger. You become steadfast in persevering. Wow. Faith, ardent perseverance in seeking God and the action of God. This is also the persevering faith of Jacob when he stayed awake all night waiting to meet his estranged brother Esau, who said he was going to kill him when he saw him. And Jacob prayed, deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother, for I'm afraid of him. He may come and kill us all. Yet you have said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sands of the sea, which cannot be counted because of their number. So Jacob persisted in faith. And immediately after that urgent prayer of persisting faith, an angel of the Lord appeared. And of course, this is such a famous moment in the Bible. Jacob wrestled all night with this angel of the Lord until dawn's first light. And he did not give up or give in until the angel would grant him a blessing. Whatever the blessing was, he sought. Jacob wanted to know, what's your name? Which, of course, it was God, and God wouldn't give him the name. And then the angel said to Jacob, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. Now just listen to this, my friends. Then the angel said, God said, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed. That's the story of the Jewish soul, and I'm also Jewish. That's the meaning of the word Israel, the one who strives with God, unrelenting, persevering like a wrestler all night, not letting go. Wow. Sometimes God does permit us to suffer, to endure this or that kind of privation so that we learn to persevere in our pleading with God. Like the widow did to the judge, there is inestimable value and passionate persistence. Paul, the ever fervent, in a passage that means a lot to me, in Romans 5 says, "We boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." Wow. That's a mouthful. Let me say that again. He boasts, rejoices in his sufferings, not, oh, it's great to suffer, but suffering produces endurance. It's the same meaning as perseverance. And endurance produces character. So when we have to persevere, like they did in The Greatest Generation through the Great Depression and World War II, and they persevered, they gained character. Strength and character generates hope. We will persevere, we will hope. Somehow things will work out. We put our hope in God, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Paul learned to value persevering faith in his suffering for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of proclaiming the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, to be received by faith and lived through the hidden power of the Holy Spirit in that faith. Nothing ultimately discouraged him from doing the good work of Christ, from carrying out Christ's ministry. And another thing he said that I just love. He told us not to lose heart. Though God may test our faith and our will and our wants, we have this treasure of Christ, he said. We have this treasure in clay pots and in our bodies. So we have Christ's extraordinary power that's available to us, working in and through us. This is from 2 Corinthians 4. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Doesn't matter what your age is. Doesn't matter if you have arthritis. Your outer nature is going to waste away, but you do not lose heart because you have persevered and Christ is with you and in you. Persevered through the things in life, and what you persevere in is a statement as to what really matters to you the most. For this, he said, the slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not to what can be seen, but to what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. So in closing, God wants us never to give up in our earnest praying to God for what is most important to us. Don't give up. I told this to a woman just the other day. I can't tell the circumstances, but I said to her, you must never give up. As Churchill said, if you are going through hell, keep going. And he did. And he said, continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking our potential. You may encounter many defeats, but you must not be defeated. In fact, it may be necessary to encounter the defeats so you may know who you are, what you can rise from, and how you can still come out of it. Wow. If you would like to hear this show, I will be putting it on my website later this morning, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. If you would like to write me, please do have any issues, questions about God. It's drhalgreen@gmail.com, drhalgreen@gmail.com. Thank you, my friends. Persevere, and you will get there. God bless us.
Broadcasting live from the Muscatine Hy-Vee Studios.